take your Bibles out with me and turn to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. And, we are 2 weeks in now to a new study on the book of Proverbs. We desire to be wise people, to grow in wisdom. It was said of Jesus that he grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and his fellow man. If Jesus needed to grow in wisdom, then I would submit to you that we do too. Amen? And so that's what we're trying to accomplish as we study the book of Proverbs together. Unlike last week, where we looked at simply one passage in Proverbs, this week we will look at several different passages in Proverbs, and so that it will be easier for us. Most of the verses that we will look at will be on the screen. The book of Proverbs is not written really in any kind of organized manner, so to speak, as a whole. The first 9 chapters are, but really, overall, the book of Proverbs has many different themes in it, many different topics in them, topics that we need to learn about if we're going to be wise in those topics. And so what we will do is we will look at it topically. And today, we're going to look at the subject of speech, specifically the power of speech. And one of the topics that is talked about the most in the book of Proverbs is this subject of speech. So we'll actually spend a few Sundays looking at all that the Proverbs have to say about this. But let's pray together and then we will begin. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Proverbs specifically. We thank you that it gives us insight and it gives us wisdom from you. Father, we want to be wise people. We don't want to be foolish people. So, Father, help us as we seek to tune our hearts to your word, to grow today, not just in knowledge about you, but in knowledge of you, in fear of you, and therefore in wisdom from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Well, if you've been keeping up with the news, you'll know that the largest fire, forest fire, in Colorado state history is burning right now, right outside the city of Colorado Springs. It's been going blazing for a while now. We know that at least one person has died from this forest fire. We know that like 346, I think, homes have been destroyed. Last Tuesday, word got out that 30,000 people needed to pack up their belongings and start to evacuate the area. This fire was spreading rapidly, has left a wake of destruction in its trails, disrupted tens of thousands of people's lives, just blazing all through Colorado Springs and the Colorado area. There are other fires also going on in the west simultaneously. And as of now, the firefighters don't know exactly what started the fire, but whether it was some kind of natural cause like lightning or some kind of man-made cause, we do know that regardless, all fires are started by the same thing, really, when it gets down to it. All fires are started by a spark. We underestimate the power of a single spark. And the scriptures actually take that illustration and say that in the same way, we underestimate the power of our speech to do all kinds of things. The power of our speech. In fact, in the book of James, which, like Proverbs, is full of all kinds of wisdom. The book of James says in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue, James says, is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. The book of Proverbs agrees with James here. The tongue, our speech, has vast power. Has immense power. And even though it's a little thing, even though the tongue is such a little part of our body, even though we may not think much about the words that we speak, the power of our speech is great. So what I would submit to you this morning is that what the book of Proverbs teaches us is that what we say to one another will either sweep through our church and sweep through our community like a blazing fire, leaving a wake of destruction in its path, or what we say to one another will either sweep through our church and our community as a cool breeze, leaving refreshment in its path. And these are the two ways. And we want to have the latter. We want to be a people that speak to one another, that speak to people in our community, not in a way that will blaze, will scorch them, leave destruction in its path, but instead that our speech might be like a cool breeze blowing through our Sunday school classes, blowing through our sanctuary, blowing through our times of fellowship on Sundays and Wednesdays, blowing through our homes as families, and blowing through our community, leaving refreshment because of what the gospel message is all about. That's the kind of speech that we want to have. We need to be wise in our speech because speech is powerful. In the book of Proverbs, we see at least three truths that you'll see on the screen about the power of our speech that I want us to notice together this morning. And the first thing is this. Speech is powerful because it has the power of life and death. It has the power of life and of death. Look there on the screens with me at Proverbs 13, verse 14, or you can turn there in your Bibles, whichever is best for you. Proverbs 13, 14 says this, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Now, when it talks about the teaching of the wise, you're talking about verbal instruction, verbal teaching, speech that is done in such a way that people are instructed, that people are built up. And notice it says the teaching of the wise are a fountain of life. Our speech has the ability, if used wisely, used with wisdom, to be a fountain of life to people. You know, it's been really hot lately. Have y'all noticed that? Or am I the only one? All right. And I thought about, this is No Tie July. Really, to beat the heat, it needs to be No Coat and Tie July. I forgot to add that in there. But it's been hot lately. But I tell you, there's nothing like when you come outside from having worked in the yard when it's 105 degrees. And you come inside and you just get a good cold glass of ice water. Nothing like that. And the Bible is saying that speech that is wise can be that refreshing to people. Can be life-giving to people. That when they come around you, they are refreshed. Just as if they've come outside, inside from a 105-degree temperature and sweating and dirty and hot, they come inside, they meet you, and you're like a glass of cold ice water to them. You are a fountain of life to them, that one may turn away from the snares of death. The next verse is Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it's one of the most profound verses on speech in the Proverbs. It says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Let me read that again. Death and life. Those are the two ways. Wisdom leading to life, foolishness leading to death. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, in our speech. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Our speech can either produce death, or our speech can produce life. What's more, and as we learn in the gospel, our speech can not just produce temporary death and destruction, or temporary life, but our speech can actually affect and cause to come about a situation in which a person can have eternal life or eternal death. And really, this is what the author of Proverbs primarily is talking about when it talks about instruction. Power, the power of life and death is in our speech because our speech, as one author says, has the power to shape beliefs and convictions that affect eternal destinies. Our speech, let me read that again, has the power to shape beliefs and convictions in other people that will affect their eternal destinies. This is why, as you read throughout the Proverbs, this father, many times, is speaking to his son in the Proverbs. He gives 10 lectures to his son. And he's given these 10 sets of instruction, verbal instruction, so that his son might go the way of life. In chapter 4, it says, "Son, listen to my instruction and live. Reject my instruction and the instruction of your mother, and you will die or experience destruction." This is what the father is trying to do through his speech with his son. The father knows that through his speech, through his teaching, and through his instruction verbally, he can shape the eternal destiny of his children because speech has the power of life and of death. Speech has the power to affect change in a person's soul, not just to go in one ear and out the other. Speech is powerful in that way. Speech has the power of life and of death. This is why in Proverbs 4, as I mentioned earlier, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words,'" the speech. "Keep my commandments," and here's the result, "and live." It's an amazing thing that what we believe affects our eternal destiny. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that will affect your eternal destiny. If you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've repented of your sins, and put your faith in Him, you believe in Him with a belief that causes you to follow after Him, then that will affect your eternal destiny. But the question is this, how do you come to have that kind of belief that will lead to eternal life? You come to have that kind of belief, Scripture teaches, through someone speaking to you. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 10, verses 13 and following. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's good news, right? You believe in Christ, you're saved. You call upon Him, you're saved. But here's the question. How do you come to call upon the Lord? He goes on and says, "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him," here it is, "of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" Verbal proclamation. Someone speaking to them. Then verse 17, "So faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Speech, your speech, to your neighbors, to your spouse, to your children, to your grandchildren, to the people sitting around you right here, can be an instrument that God uses to affect what they believe and to therefore affect their eternal destiny. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Verbal proclamation can serve as a huge warning, a huge sign, so to speak, to tell people where to go. Not, we went to the beach not long ago, and have you ever noticed the different color flags on the beach? Those are important. Let me just tell you, all right? So there's different kind of flags. So there's a green flag, and these flags are kind of warning flags telling you what the water is like. All right? So there's a green flag. If you see a green flag, it means it's low hazard. If you see a yellow flag, it means it's medium hazard. If you see a red flag, it means it's high hazard. Or if you're like me, it means the waves are bigger, and then you can get one of those bodyboard things and have some fun. Or if you see a double red flag, it means that the water is closed to the public. Right? And these signs are important. I mean, even though I might go out there in a red flag situation, I wouldn't want my son or daughter to. Why? These flags are sort of signs that tell you what to do, tell you what you need to know, and can actually protect your life. And in the same way, what the author of Proverbs is saying is listen to the instruction found in the book of Proverbs. Listen to wise instruction, and like those flags, they can tell you how to preserve your life. They can tell you how to bypass death, to not go the way of the fool, and to end up in destruction. They can be a warning to you. They can be instruction to you. They can guide you along the paths of life. This is what the author is saying. So the power of life and death are in our tongues, are in our speech. This is why what we say is so important. What we say to one another, what we say to people in our community, the way we speak constantly to the people we love the most, have the power of life and death within them. And I can just tell you, I see it especially with my daughter. Now, I can tell my son I love him and hey, I like those, you know, that shirt or whatever. I don't do that often with him, but and he likes it or whatever. But if I say something like that to Olivia, then she just lightens up. Why? Because she's a girl. And when I speak tenderly with her, I say, "Olivia, my goodness, your hair just looks so beautiful today. Or I love your dress. That's so pretty." Or something like that. "I just love you." She just lights up. And she comes alive. Why? Because of the power of words. Even just a simple compliment to a three-year-old girl can produce life within her. And the Word of God is saying that that's what our speech can accomplish. Our speech is powerful. It can affect life and death. The second thing we see in Proverbs about the power of our speech is that our speech is powerful because it has the power to heal and destroy others. It has the power to heal or to destroy others. Look with me on the screen at Proverbs 10, verse 14. Proverbs 10, verse 14 says this, "The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool brings ruin near." The wise lay up knowledge, but notice what the ruin of the fool is. The mouth, his mouth. The mouth of the fool brings ruin near. What the fool says is going to bring ruin everywhere he goes. So it's a person, the picture is it's a person that goes around spouting off at the mouth and leaving a wake of destruction behind him. It's a person that goes around and his mouth is like a blowtorch. And everywhere he goes, he calls a forest fire. The fool is like that, and he brings ruin everywhere he goes. All that are around him, instead of being a fountain of life, he is bringing ruin to them. And then we see in Proverbs 11, verse 9, which says this, "With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor." You see that? With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are to live. In other words, if you know better, you'll be righteous and not use your mouth for destruction, but for building up. For edification, and will so be delivered, and all those around you as well. With his mouth, the godless man will destroy his neighbor. You see, affect us. Our speech affects our neighbor. And Jesus said, when he was asked what the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so if we're going to love our neighbor, what the book of Proverbs is saying is, then we ought not to want the ruin of our neighbor. If we don't want the ruin of our neighbor, then we need to speak to our neighbor in a way that is wise, in a way marked by wisdom that builds up and that does not tear down. In Proverbs 12, verse 18, we see another verse about this. That verse says this: there is one whose rash words, and the word rash there could be translated reckless, one whose rash or reckless words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, right? The words that they speak are like a sword that is going out and piercing you. Every time you're around them, people just recoil from you. It's because of the speech and of the power of speech and of the danger of reckless words. And then in Proverbs 16, verse 24, the author says this: gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So you can have reckless or rash words, which is unwise or foolish, and that can be like a sword that hurts people and that destroys people. Or you can have sweet words, words that are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the body. Our words, our speech, have the power to help, have the power to heal, or they have the power to destroy others. They really do affect other people. I read a story not long ago about a teenager who was a victim of cyberbullying. And in other words, what this is not only kids going to school and getting bullied in the classroom, but going back home and getting on Facebook and being bullies on the internet as well. And so there was this girl that transferred to a school in the States. She was from Ireland. She came over here. And as soon as she started her class, her school there, these people sort of kind of jumped on her and on Facebook and some other places, really gave her a really hard time. And she wound up committing suicide. There are many, many examples of this kind of thing happening all the time. And why is that? It's because of the power of our speech, the power of words to either heal or destroy, the power of words to abuse, the power of words to bring down and to destroy, but the power of words can also heal. I know this in my own life, in my own experience. I remember when I was in college, I was a freshman in college over at Union University, and I was studying to be a Christian studies major. I really didn't know a lot about the Bible besides what I'd sort of learned in Sunday school, which was a lot. But I was just starting my Christian studies and my biblical studies time there, and I had a class on philosophy with one of the professors at the school. And something he said, I don't remember exactly what it was, but something he said struck me as being wrong. Okay? And I know being at Union, probably nobody might use anything wrong. But something he said struck me as wrong. And so, man, I just got all angry. I explained it away as being, some kind of spiritual anger, righteous anger, of course, indignation. And I went back to my room, and kind of like Martin Luther, who penned his 95 Theses, I sat down with some lined notebook paper and a number 2 pencil and went to town. I just wrote out all the reasons, listing it out with scripture and all this kind of stuff, reasons that I was disagreeing with what my professor had said. And then I go, and I didn't nail it to his door, but I did put it under his door. And the next day, he reads it, he calls me, I go by his office and say, "Professor, what do you think? What do you think about what I wrote?" Looking back, I'm sure it was probably the worst thing he has ever read in his life. Notebook paper, number 2 pencil, probably looking like chicken scratch. And you know what he said to me? At that moment, when I said, "Hey, Mr. Professor, Dr. So-and-so, what do you think about what I wrote?" He, at that moment, could have done 1 or 2 things. He could have taken my spirit and said, "Grant, that was the worst excuse for an attempt at an argument that I've ever seen in my life. You need to get out of ministry." Right? He could have done that and just crushed my spirit. But you know what he did? He said, "You know what, Grant? I think in what you've written here, I see the beginnings of a theologian." And you know what? I've remembered that ever since that time. You know what he did at that moment? He was using wise speech. He might have been lying a little bit. No, he wasn't. He was probably taking the one kernel, one good thing, and saying, "I see evidence here at the beginning of the field." But what he said there meant a lot to me. And it encouraged me to go back. And you know what? I don't remember what it was, but in that situation, he was probably right in whatever he was teaching. I was probably wrong. But he understood the power of wise speech to heal. But also, he understood the power of unwise speech to destroy. And he chose the former rather than the latter, and it did me good. And this is the power the author of Proverbs is talking about. Our words to one another have the power to heal, or they have the power to destroy, and the choice is yours. The choice is yours, because you are going to encounter all kinds of situations that are similar to the one I just talked about. Every day of your life, whether it might be lesser or greater, you encounter some kind of situation with your spouse, with your children, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, where you have the opportunity to do one of two things. To speak to them in such a way that brings healing and that builds them up and that encourages them, or to choose, and it's a choice, to choose to speak in such a way that destroys them, that brings them down, that tears them down. You have the power to do that, and all, it comes down to the choice that we make in that situation. And it might be, it just might be, that 8 or 10 years down the road, someone's going to be in some group of Christians somewhere talking about, hey, you know, there was a time when I was talking to so-and-so, and I was going through this situation in my life, and you know what they did? At that point, they could have done either of two things. They could have really said something that really would have set me down a wrong path, or they could have done what they did. And they encouraged me, and they spoke life to me, and they used wise words that refreshed my soul. And that's the kind of legacy we want to leave. That's the kind of impact we want to make. So our speech has the power to heal and destroy others. And the third thing that we see in the book of Proverbs is that our speech is powerful because it has the power to reward or damage ourselves. It has the power to reward and damage oneself. So our speech doesn't just have the power to affect other people's lives. What we say will also directly affect our own lives, ourselves. In Proverbs 10, verse 10, the author writes this, "Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin." Babbling fool here, babbling being a sort of way to talk. Talking about speech there. The fool babbles on and on using foolish speech, unwise words. And notice what it says. He, the babbling fool, will come to ruin himself. Not only will he bring ruin to others, but there are other proverbs that we've looked at that have said that. But here it's saying he himself, he or she, will come to ruin by what his words have accomplished. And then Proverbs 12, verse 14. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. From the fruit of his mouth, from what the man says, that man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands come back to him. In other words, what you say will come back to you. What you say, how you talk to people, the speech that you use will come back to you, and it will either come back to you as a reward or it will come back to you as destruction. This is what the author is saying. And notice also Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7 says, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Notice, what gets the fool in trouble, according to this proverb, are his lips. What gets the fool into a fight are his lips. What invites a beating upon the fool is his mouth. What brings ruin upon the fool is his mouth. What is a snare to his soul are his lips. This is what the author of Proverbs is saying. That what you say will come back to either help you or haunt you. What you say will always come back to affect you in one way or the other. One author writes, "To spread gossip and people will not trust you. Speak with sarcasm and insults and people will not follow you. Be hateful with your tongue, and you'll be hateful with other aspects of your behavior. If you do not discipline and purify your speech, you will not discipline or purify the rest of your life." The way you speak will directly affect the people you're around. And then when it comes time you need them, when it comes time that you need their help, when it comes time and you're the one struggling and you need the church family to come around you, and all along your speech to them has been hurtful, then it says that's what the proverb is talking about. It'll bring ruin upon yourself. Speech has the power to do that. It's like the little story that we tell our children, the little story about the boy who cried wolf. Remember that? The story he gets bored, the story says. And so, and by the way, oftentimes, this is the way this happens. Right? We're not busy doing the things we ought to be doing. We get bored, so to speak, and we get into trouble with our words. We're not careful with our speech. He says he gets bored. So what he does, he devises a plan to see some action. He just wants to see something happen, right? He's been watching sheep. He wants to see some activity. And so he cries wolf. He says, wolf, wolf, there's a wolf among the sheep. So all the townspeople in the village, they leave what they're doing. They come out to the hillside, and lo and behold, there's no wolf. He gets a big laugh out of them, right? They go back to that herd, what they're doing, go back to their day. And again, he does the same thing. Wolf, wolf, there's a wolf among the sheep. And they come out, and they look around. There's no wolf there. You know how the story goes, right? Later, a wolf actually shows up. And he cries out, wolf, wolf, there's a wolf among the sheep. And nobody comes to his aid. And finally, when the people of the village go back to the hill to collect their sheep from this little shepherd boy and bring them back to their homes and bring them back to their inside their gates, they find the wolf has devoured all the sheep. And one of the older men in the village puts his arm around the little boy and says, son, what you've learned today is that nobody believes a liar, even when he's telling the truth. Nobody believes a liar, even when he's telling the truth. Nobody is going to receive your good works if you set a pattern for yourself and for your life of harmful speech and harmful words. And when you cry out for help, help church, help neighbor, but you've not been the good neighbor through your speech, and oftentimes people that do that find themselves without help because of the pattern they've set with their speech. What we say to one another, then again, what we say to one another in our church, what we say to one another in our community will either sweep through our church and our community like a blazing fire, leaving destruction in its path, or what we say to one another in our church and our community can sweep through our church and community like a cool breeze, leaving refreshment in its path. This is what Christ calls us to. He calls us to be wise people that speak wisely to one another and thereby enjoy the fruits of wise speech, life everlasting. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus Christ himself came speaking wisdom to people. Jesus Christ himself is the supreme example of what we've talked about today. He came, Lord, not with a tongue or with speech that condemned, not with a tongue or with speech that was hurtful or harmful, but with speech of good news, speech full of grace, speech full of wisdom that would lead people, if they would heed his words, to everlasting life. Father, help us to pattern the way we speak after Jesus Christ, who spoke with such wisdom. Help us to speak this way to one another in the church. Help us to speak this way to our neighbors and co-workers and people in our community. Help us to speak with words of grace and with the word of the gospel, that people might hear it and be refreshed and enjoy everlasting life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please stand to your feet at this time and have a time of invitation. And after that, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But if you're here today and don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Miss Sandy is going to play a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing together. And if you want to talk to someone about what it means to follow Jesus Christ, maybe you heard the word of God spoken today, and those words, that speech, did something in your heart. The Bible says the word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword that can pierce your heart. Maybe you're here today and you want to know how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Say, my heart's been pierced. I want to repent of my sins. I want to know Christ. Come forward as we sing, if you would, and we'll have someone speak with you. Maybe you're here today and you need to be baptized. You're a believer in Christ, but you've never followed him in obedience. The act of believer's baptism to show the world that you're saved. You can step out while we sing too, and we'll set up a time for you to be baptized. And then maybe you're here today and you don't have a church home. You're looking for a church family. You want to know more about this church or feel like God's leading you to join here. We'd love to have someone speak with you about that as well. So as we sing together, you come as God leads, and you come and